Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
That whole thing before is off the record, eh?
Oh yeah.
It's weird that you would say that about them, Jamie.
Yeah.
You know what?
They're nice people. You just got to get to know them.
I call them as I see them.
Lore boys here.
Lore boys.
I am your host, Peter O'Donohue, and here is
James the John Robert Miller. I said my middle name's backwards. Robert John Miller.
James the John.
Yeah.
And
Ethan with two pinky fingers.
Yeah, he's much more fortunate than the rest of
new
us.
New and improved.
Yeah. He was a pinky amputee. Yeah. That's why he's always hiding one of his hands in the Instagram photos.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go check it out at the Lore Boys Podcast on
That's
Instagram.
That's a lot of syllables just to say your smallest finger is gone.
Yeah.
Pinky amputee. Jesus.
Pink amputee is what I like to call it.
So, nice. Hey everybody. It's a Lore Podcast. Today, we're going to be doing real lore, which I believe is generally referred to as history.
Is it though?
I don't know.
Because like real lore is folklore, right?
Well, that's real still lore? Real fake stories, right?
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
But what makes them more real than our fake stories?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Yeah.
Fairies still don't exist, and I'm sorry if this is how you had to find out.
I mean, they might.
Yeah. I'll say Beetlejuice once. Now you guys, one of you gets another one.
But... Well, we'll flip a coin for it after.
Okay.
So what we're going to be talking about this time is the production history of Godzilla.
Okay.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, you've heard of Godzilla?
Yeah. Man in a suit, right?
The vast majority of them are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen any of the films at all?
I saw the one with Matthew Broderick.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard of movies.
Okay, so you haven't seen any Godzilla movie ever?
No.
Okay, I've seen one, and it's apocryphal, as far as I know.
We'll see.
Okay. Okay.
I've got a couple little actual lore tidbits in here.
Okay.
I've seen probably 7 or 8 of them, including King of the Monsters, which at time of recording is...
King of Monsters.
King of Monsters.
There's no that in there, Peter.
Shows what I know. I enjoyed it
who's,
a lot.
Who's running this podcast?
I enjoyed it a lot. I recommend you go see it. It's doing okay at the box office, but... Oh my god, sorry, my cat is so cute.
Your
right
cat
now.
Is being
yeah.
very
cool. Oh no.
Studio cat.
So I liked it a lot. Go see it. It's doing good overseas, but not great in the States. Basically like everything else that isn't a Marvel film.
Yeah.
Ever,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So it's doing well. It's a lot of fun. I've seen a lot of the old ones, as well as the one with Matthew Broderick.
Okay.
Is there any video games for Godzilla?
Yes.
There's a few. I don't
there's
think
like
a
Rampage.
Not knowing this for a fact, I'm going to say undoubtedly yes.
I think there's Rampage, which is like almost that. It's like a dinosaur that you knock down buildings and fight other giants.
It's the Beepus to Godzilla's Pepsi.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's...
Rampage is very popular.
I'm sure there's Rampage clones that are officially licensed Godzilla games.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, okay, yeah.
That just feels like the low-hanging fruit that somebody who makes a video
just
game
like,
movie would
yeah,
do.
It's
yeah.
Like,
yeah
or a movie video game.
Uncharted was Dude Raider and then got good, and then Tomb Raider ripped off Uncharted.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So it's like the circular
this,
fucking...
This beautiful circle jerk.
Yeah. So I've seen probably
that's the tagline for our podcast.
Beautiful circle
A beautiful circle jerk.
All right, throw away the business cards.
Yeah.
I've seen about 7 or 8 of the films.
Okay.
All right.
So that's more than... Me and Jamie.
More than you two combined.
I haven't,
actually.
I haven't done the math, but that's about the same or maybe a little bit
you
more.
You can take me out of the equation, though. I've seen 0, right?
Yeah, but what's 0 plus 1? We don't know.
It's impossible.
You know. Yeah,
you've been working with Excel recently. You, can
you
figure
can't
it out later.
Divide or add by 0.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. That's
irrational
what they say.
Numbers. So Godzilla was created by the Japanese company Toho. Also, I cut out a lot of people's names just because they're hard to pronounce.
Okay.
If I butcher any If I butcher any Japanese names,
Couldn't we just give them American names?
I just changed
every
all,
single
yeah,
one of them.
Sam and John.
Ted and Julie. And
exactly. Yeah, that's what I did.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I just swapped out their names for
your
a
name's
American
Junhua.
Name.
We'll call you Jonah.
Yeah, exactly. You'll be a Jonathan, like all the rest of us.
It's kind of fucked up. Yeah. That's a real thing that happens.
No,
all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well,
we joke about it.
Yeah,
but we have no right to.
In player support, we will change someone's name who is like, if it's we're catering to Americans, we'll usually give them an American name because if someone sees a name that's like Asian or from the Middle East, they get racist at them.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, that's customer service in general.
Yeah,
like, a lot of people do that.
Yeah, thanks, white people.
Yeah,
thanks a lot, white people.
They're the worst.
Anyway, here's another product of white people: our podcast.
Yeah.
So Godzilla was created by the Japanese company Toho, and he's easily one of the most famous giant monsters or kaiju.
I mean, easily, yeah.
In cinema history.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, like, I didn't look up, like, statistics.
Who's more famous, Godzilla or King Kong?
Yeah, who's more famous, Godzilla or Elvis? And I was just yeah.
Frick.
Between Godzilla and King Kong, I just don't know how big Godzilla is in China, but I have to imagine he's bigger in China than King Kong is.
He's about the size of a giant building.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Although he changes movie to movie, doesn't he?
What's his clout like?
Yeah. What kind of influencer swing does he have? You know what I mean.
Is clout like monster gout?
It's a monster clitoris. It's a clitoris.
Yeah,
I thought it was gout for claws.
Oh, okay.
No.
Common misconception.
If this is actually true. Currently, at time of recording, Godzilla is the longest running film franchise in history.
Oh, wow.
Because
that makes sense.
There's been a film, there's never been a break longer than basically a decade since the first film in 1954.
Kong's close though, eh? Like, it was in the 50s as well or 60s.
King Kong's not really a franchise.
Oh.
Because a lot of the King Kong films, including Peter Jackson's, the one in the 70s, are just remakes of the one from the 30s.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like, because King Kong, spoilers for a movie that is 80 years old, dies at the end.
Yeah.
What?
Not at the end of Skull Island.
No, not that. Yeah.
How old is Paul Blart Mall Cop? How old is that series?
1955.
Actually, oh, just missed it.
Just missed it
by a year.
It's a monster.
Paul Blart fights communism. Paul Blart goes to Vietnam.
It's like Ernest.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of similarities there.
Yeah, exactly. So, as we established earlier, everybody has heard of Godzilla in this room. There's a Blue Oyster Cult song about him. And
Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yes.
The Reaper being Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Need more cowbell there, Will Ferrell, right?
Yeah. And even more recognizable is Godzilla's roar. The onomatopoeia.
Are you going to give it to us?
No. Yeah, I was hoping.
No. Give us a little.
I don't have those kind of podcast balls to betray my Godzilla impression. Nope.
Oh, it's just I had a little tickle in my throat. That's all. sorry. Did you guys hear? Did that come through on the mics?
A little bit.
Sorry.
The onomatopoeia of his roar is written Skrionk, which is Skreonk! Exclamation point.
Yeah. That's Godzilla, right?
Yeah, basically.
It's like Godzilla in the room with us.
It sounds like a Pokemon call.
Skrionk, yeah.
Yeah.
Skrionk!
Yeah.
Skrionk!
Skrionk!
What did you see over there, Skrionk?
Skrionk!
Coincidentally, this is the same onomatopoeia as a resin-coated leather glove being dragged across the loosened strings of a double bass.
Is that how they made the sound?
That's exactly. Coincidence.
A leather glove dragged...
A resin-coated leather glove dragged across the loosened strings of a double bass.
I gotta say, Foley work is some of the most interesting stuff to me. Like, how they make different sounds, because it's never the way you think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you always start, like, semester one with your, like, grapefruit punching project.
Yeah.
Then you move on to basic tools and larger fruit.
Do you think they cut their teeth? Like, do you think, like, schools where they teach Foley work is just, like, in a hoarder's house? And
oh, yeah.
They're just like, go out and make sounds or whatever. Like, I found this box of bees. Like, just shake it.
I found a dead cat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can knock on it because it's been inside the drywall for like
years. Yeah, that's it.
A fun fact about this Foley work on the podcast, the way we do Ethan's voice is actually we have a trumpet with an assortment of deli meats around the funnel on the end.
Yeah.
And we just blow into it. And the smacking of the meat along with the music
Yeah, it's
there
the,
it is.
The combination of trumpet horn and processed meats
and sliced meat.
Yeah. And he's vegetarian too.
Well, yeah. Exactly. The made up character Ethan is vegetarian.
Yes.
Which, I, the made up character.
That's
a little bit of dramatic irony.
Joke.
Yeah.
That's an inside joke on the podcast. Yeah, yeah. Is that our pescatarian character. Are you vegetarian now?
I'm pescatarian.
Pescatarian character is actually just made of sliced meat. Weirdly enough, he also has a thing against brass, but that's a completely different story.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I always have been vehemently anti-brass.
Anti-brass.
And that's cops.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Godzilla's name in Japan is Gojira, which is a combination of Gorira and Kujira, which mean gorilla and whale, respectively.
I saw those guys at a heavy Montreal concert last summer.
Gojira?
Gojira, yeah. They're a metal band as well.
Mm-hmm, they are a metal band. Named after the monster, I bet.
Oh, dang.
Well, I don't know. How long have they been around? 85 years?
Yeah.
Frick.
1953.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah,
and I saw that band Paul Blart too. They're just another ripoff.
Yeah, his name was really hard to pronounce, so they just gave an American name, Kevin James, for Paul
Blart.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, exactly. Who was also a dark art film from a foreign country. Paul Blart,
yeah,
Malcolm.
Yeah.
His appearance is a combination of several dinosaurs, while his skin resembles what are known as keloid scars, which were seen on the survivors of the Hiroshima bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
for anyone who doesn't know what he looks like, he's the guy from the "That wasn't very cash money of you" meme. Just picture him without the sunglasses.
That's Godzilla?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that one. Mm-hmm. I think he's just like a big dinosaur lizard boy kind of thing.
Yeah, so he's based on early recreations of dinosaurs back when people still believed that they dragged their tails.
Oh, they don't. They use them to balance?
They're dead, but...
Are they not just sweeping all the time?
I thought they were
like cleaning up the jungle or wherever they live.
Yeah, dinosaurs known for their recycling.
Yeah.
That's why there was
I mean, we're still using them as fuel.
You're right.
Right?
How ironic that they're, they're polluting now.
Yeah.
So since 1954, there have been 35 Godzilla films, three of which were produced in the United States. One in 1998, one in 2014, and one in 2019, which is the one I just mentioned, King of the Monsters.
King of Monsters.
Yeah.
No, the.
King of Monsters.
What is it that speaks to people, this Godzilla film? People are still watching it, like, after a century almost.
Oh, big-ass lizard fuck shit up, dude.
Like, yeah, it's just the new one especially is just like an action figure movie. Like, yeah. It's great. Huh. There's a human plot solely for scale. It's just like you have to take some shots from the ground so you can see how huge everything is.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have divorced parents and their daughter, and they have to learn to get along. Like
while Godzilla was a metaphor for
divorce.
Family domestic disturbances.
Yeah, exactly.
This whole time,
and the three-headed dragon that he fights that shoots lightning out of its mouth is child services.
Yeah, I think so.
I guess,
you know, when you think about it, Jamie. Giant, several stories tall, horrific monster destroying a city is a lot like an unhappy marriage.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. I'll take your word for it.
King of Monsters was about divorce.
Mm-hmm.
The tone and messaging of each film can vary wildly. And Godzilla has been depicted as both a protagonist and antagonist in the films.
Yeah.
He is the antagonist in the first one ever. In the first one I ever saw, rather, which was Godzilla versus Mothra.
Okay, she was a protagonist in the Matthew Broderick one?
So, we'll get into the 1998 one.
Mm-hmm.
This I didn't write down, but we will get into. For some reason, the Godzilla in the 1998 film is always referred to as he, despite the fact it reproduces asexually, like, that
no, they
one
call
species
it she,
of lizard.
They call it she at the end when they realize that she made... Well, again, yeah, it's like asexual.
I'm pretty sure Matthew Broderick's stupid fucking line is, he's pregnant.
Oh, it could be. Yeah.
I think, yeah.
But then I feel like after that, yeah. Anyway,
welcome to Lore Boys, where we try to remember a movie.
That is true. That is true. We do that sometimes.
Yeah.
So due to shifts in character design, multiple reboots, and changes in tone, the Godzilla production history has been divided up into different eras.
Okay.
All of which are named in and around the Japanese emperor. At the time.
How many emperors have they gone through?
In
the last 50
for
years.
For Godzilla production, like two or three? I'm not 100% certain.
Do they still have an emperor?
I don't know, man.
Didn't look it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next week on Lore Boys, Japan's
emperor.
Yeah.
And we'll name them.
Japanese dynasties.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So the first era of Godzilla production is known as the Showa era and ran from 1954 to 1975. This era began with Godzilla, which was written and directed by Ishiro Honda, and ended with Terror of Mechagodzilla, also directed by Honda.
Okay. Oh.
Who won on that one? Did Godzilla win?
At the end of Terror of Mechagodzilla?
Yeah.
I think he sacrifices himself to defeat Mechagodzilla.
To defeat Mechagodzilla, yeah.
I think. I didn't look up. This is not a plot synopsis of a lot of the films. Okay. Like, I have points in there that are important.
Okay.
But, I mean, Godzilla lore, like Godzilla film lore in production lore, which is what we're doing now, are separate.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So if there's something about a movie that we want to know, we'll just ask.
I was just trying to make a joke. Cool. I wanted to call him a Groa, not a Showa. But...
Oh. Yeah. And Godzilla in Revenge of Mechagodzilla, was Godzilla big in this one as well?
He was very big.
Oh,
he was also big. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Damn, I guess you could say...
He's a show, not a... Fuck!
Oh, fuck.
Well, can you cut those clips out and just flip them? where was I here? Right. They were both those films were directed by Honda, so he both created the character, wrote and directed both the beginning and end of the Showa era Godzilla films.
Okay. He bookended it.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. He directed some in between as well. Like, he was always involved.
He spit roasted the Showa era.
Yeah, exactly.
I got you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's the terminology.
Well, it is
I'm
now.
Pretty sure it is.
Lore Boys canon.
Spit roasted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you got like one on each end.
What's in the middle and why is it penetrating?
The Showa era.
The Showa era. Yeah. Have you heard of the porn star Showa era?
Yeah.
She loves getting spit roasted.
Yeah.
By two of the same guy.
Yeah.
And Eiffel Towered and all the rest of
it. That's the same thing.
Well, I think
Eiffel Tower, the guys hold hands at
the
top.
They're touching hands to make the...
Oh.
You gotta make the peak of the tower.
That's a lot of performance.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Sex is a lot of performance, Peter.
That's
for
true.
For a lover like myself.
Yeah.
Okay?
I do fan out my feathers when I want some fuck.
I was just talking about birds, male versus female, and the males are often much more beautiful and colorful than the females.
Yeah.
Because they have to attract a mate.
Bird girls don't want no scrubs.
And it's selective evolution, not...
Females are
brown
more important because, like, one female can, like, fuck however many guys, you know what I mean? But she's the one that carries the eggs, so they need to be able to camouflage better.
Exactly. She holds all the cards.
Mm-hmm. She does.
Yeah.
And so they got to clean their
den. Not all of them. She needs his jokers or whatever to finish the deck, but then he can die.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
enough of them to go around, though. Like, he's got the common cards and she's got the rares. Like, they need her more much.
Yeah,
much more
she's
than
more
she
just, like, collecting a set.
Yeah.
So the reason it's called the Showa era, looping back around from
nailed that metaphor. We
had to get an animal fact in. We're on a streak, you know.
Top of the show, get it out.
Yeah.
Male birds are colorful.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Birds use a cloaca. They don't have penises.
Yeah.
Ducks do. So that can't be all birds.
Ducks have their we've covered that before.
Maybe it's just female birds.
This era.
Was that supposed to be a duck?
I don't know. I just made a...
Jamie's never heard a duck before.
Got any grapes?
So, like I was saying, the Showa era began in 1954, and it actually spans 15 films.
Okay.
Despite having begun with a dark allegorical film about the horrors of nuclear war, this era also, for some reason, attempted to market Godzilla to children.
I mean,
shortly thereafter,
1954 Japan. Probably still a sensitive topic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, not the most marketable thing either.
Kind of makes sense. I don't know. Like, didn't they... Because they don't have a standing army, right?
And they're not allowed.
No, they sit down.
Okay. Yeah.
Funnily enough, Japan's current government is in one of the newer Godzilla films. And it's an allegory for current Japanese politics.
Oh, cool.
Like, I don't know really why they... Like, I guess they wanted to do it for the money, but... Like, I can just imagine two fucking Japanese producers sitting at a table there. It's like, nobody likes a scary radiation monster that has that scarry, gross, burnt skin. What do we do's?
These Japanese men.
You know who will love it? Kids.
Yeah, kids will fucking love it. They love his burnt, crusty skin.
Yeah.
Hey, it's fucking gross. I'm trying to eat a hoagie here.
Was that the kids? You Godzilla now?
It's just two... I'm not going to do a Japanese accent. Are you crazy?
Was that not your Japanese accent? I was going to say that was extremely offensive to me.
It sounded as good as a resin-covered glove being dragged across a
tunnel. Yeah, exactly. what was it? Skadoosh? Skarish?
Skriank.
Skriank. Yeah.
Skriank.
Skadoosh.
That is Kung Fu Panda lore.
Yeah, that is Kung Fu Panda. There's this guy at work who always says Skadoosh. I don't know what he's trying to rep Kung Fu Panda. Like,
when you send us those cars fucking memes...
those dozens and dozens of cars fucking memes that you sent us, Jamie, in the group chat.
What does Lightning
Queen say? Kerchow?
No,
there you go. Thank you.
No. Kerchow is whatever it's like the dumb meme. He says Kachow normally.
No, but they're actually casting Owen Wilson in the next Cars movie, so it's going to be Kawow.
Kawow.
He's always been Lightning McQueen.
Has he always?
Yeah, he's always been.
Fuck.
Godzilla.
I don't watch movies, guys.
Jamie's never seen a movie.
Jamie is going to do the Cars lore for us someday, and it's going to be fun. The Cars expanded fan fiction universe, and it is going to be fucking glorious.
Yeah. I'm going to love that.
Oh,
Godzilla, who is generally a man in a suit, stomping around a miniature city, like miniature cities in pagodas, which are like those kind of...
I know what a pagoda is.
Do you?
They're in Overwatch.
I'd love if you explained it.
It's like those tall, slim Japanese buildings with the wide roofs that
and
have
the paper
like
walls.
Multiple layers. I don't know what they look like inside, James.
That's a thing in Japan. They have paper walls. Yeah.
Why?
They say the walls are paper thin, so you better be quiet when you're fucking.
Yeah.
In Japan.
I think
Japanese people in paper houses shouldn't throw stones
at each other's genitals.
Or listen to music past 11 p.m. on a work night.
Yeah, fair.
Especially that one. So basically by the second film, Godzilla, who's a man in a costume, started fighting other giant monsters who are men in costumes, basically immediately. Yeah. This was in 1955.
Okay.
Like, Honda got all of his art out, I guess. He just, like, blew his art load. Yeah, he was just like, yes, I have my metaphor, my masterpiece. Anyway, what now?
Oh, yeah.
Who's got some extra fiberglass and rubber?
Yeah, that's it.
Because I want a big angry turtle to show up in the next one.
we vowed to never build more nukes, but in my movie... we're going to build more nukes.
Oh, yeah.
Nukes being monsters,
yeah,
of course.
Exactly. I love how everybody probably took him... since it was 1955 when the second film came out, people probably had to take him seriously as a artist for, like, 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's it.
And then it's just like, wow, man, that film was really touching. Are you going to work on something else? Like, anything else? He's like, yeah, man, this time the nuke lizard's going to fight a turtle downtown.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, peace, dudes. Yeah. And he fucks off on a Razor scooter.
Just like a man in a suit fighting an actual tortoise. Like,
yeah.
An actual giant tortoise.
At the grocery store, I saw people loading 8 Razor scooters into the back of a truck today.
What if you need them?
The heck?
That's pretty good.
Who needs that many scoots?
Some radical
8
kids.
8 people?
I guess so.
Or some rad kid at the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
One guy
7
with
friends.
One guy with 16 legs.
Or one ambitious... I was going to say one ambitious spider, but you got me. Yeah, okay.
That's much weirder. So these fights between men in costumes would become...
Two-legged men.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay,
arguably, depending on where they're placed, you could fit 4 and 4 into pants.
Okay.
And, but you would need 16 shoes.
How many... But the costume has a different amount of legs, so it gets really confusing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all weird.
All fake legs.
So these fights would become ridiculous eventually. I had sent you guys Rules of Nature on Facebook.
No, I'm not sure.
I'll describe it. Don't worry. So the
is that the one where Zelda shoots the milk at Ganondorf?
No, that was great, though.
Okay.
Zoroldo.
Is that Zoroldo? So one, speaking of which, you guys brought up King Kong. There are 2 films called Godzilla vs. King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
One made in Japan where Godzilla wins, and one made in the States where the victor is unclear, but King Kong does way better because he's from New York.
Yeah, because he's American.
He's a Yankee monster.
USA.
Yeah.
USA.
Yeah.
USA.
In one of these films, I'm not sure which one it is, I didn't look that up, helicopters drop King Kong from the sky onto the side of a volcano, where he then toboggans down the slope on his ass and kicks Godzilla in the chest.
Can I guess?
Sending both of them careening down a mountain.
I'm going to guess America.
You think it's that? You think they made that ridiculous one?
Yeah, something about the helicopters.
In another one, Godzilla is zapped in the dick by a 3-headed dragon who spits lightning.
Hell yeah!
Godzilla also reacts in the classic "ow my dick" and grabs his dick
area. Ow my balls!
Ow my balls! Godzilla curling up into like a standing fetal position and using his atomic fire breath to fly in a perfect straight line backwards.
Now, what's a standing fetal position? I'm trying to picture that.
Like, he curls up, his arms and legs and his tail all wrapped in.
Okay.
And then he breathes fire straight down at the ground and flies backwards in a perfectly straight line.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And finally, my favorite one, which I did send you on Facebook. We can watch it again if we still have time afterwards. Godzilla lifting both his feet up, leaning back on his tail.
Oh.
And being launched forwards by some unseen force using his tail as like a skate.
Yeah.
So that he can use both feet to kick a giant beetle man in the chest who is currently being held by like a Power Rangers villain called, what the hell is his name?
The Band
Jet Jaguar.
Jet Jaguar
is the
sounds like something
150 foot Power
Meet
Ranger.
Jet Jaguar
sounds like sounds like someone from BattleTech.
Jet Jaguar. Yeah, it does sound like a mech. Yeah,
Glurg, his wife.
Yeah.
Jet Jaguar. This is not something we're going to discuss. I think the reason he looks so fucking stupid is because a Japanese child designed him and won a contest.
Okay.
Where Toho was then obligated to put it in the film. Because he's like, he's
that's
got like
the best way to make art.
This
honestly.
Big dumb chrome head, and he's like red, white, and yellow all the way down.
Okay.
And he's got like this beetle in a chokehold, and then Godzilla uses his tail as a skate and through completely unseen forces rockets forward and kicks his beetle in the chest.
Well, maybe his tail was doing like the snake thing.
No.
Like moving like a snake, and then that pushes him along.
That, you know what, maybe that's what they intended, but the effect certainly wasn't there.
Well, I mean, yeah. Practical effects back in the day.
Yeah,
know,
exactly. Back in the 70s.
Yeah. Can't all be Spielberg.
Well, Godzilla did it, so must have happened.
Yeah. You're right. All of these are documentaries in the Showa era.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they're all directed by Werner Herzog.
Yeah.
The Showa era would end with a pair of films, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla and Terror of Mechagodzilla. After the previous few films were labeled generously as creative disasters, Toho and Honda wanted to introduce a more serious villain, so they added Mechagodzilla, which was a battle robot that looks like Godzilla who was built by space aliens.
Okay.
So the wackiness was not entirely gone.
So like they have the technology to travel to Earth, and they get here, and they're like, that's a big-ass lizard. Let's make one of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Wouldn't you?
I can't remember... No, these aliens are called the Sapiens.
Okay.
That's what I recall.
I like the idea, though, is like you go on to...
Like Homo.
Imagine when you land on a planet
like
and...
the milk.
You see everyone's just fighting with swords, right? Let's say swords. It could be any kind... This is something we can imagine. And then you say, as an alien, okay, I'm going to have honor. I'm going to use the same weapon and defeat them kind of thing.
I will stoop to their level.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you need to talk to a child, you get down.
Yeah, yeah. Get down on one knee. Yeah.
And you scream in their face like they scream in yours.
Exactly, yeah.
Sometimes you sneeze in their open mouth.
If that kid pulls a knife, I'm pulling a knife.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't care if it's made of plastic. I don't care.
I don't have plastic
I don't
knives
have plastic
anymore because I'm a fucking adult.
I'm a man, yeah.
And I don't, and they're bad for the environment.
Yeah, plastic is terrible.
You can clean a metal one. Anyway,
it's a bad joke.
After stabbing a child to death, Ishiro Honda
the
decided...
child decomposes, but the plastic knife doesn't.
Doesn't.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Honestly, that's the green option.
Later, it'll turn to gasoline.
So the franchise would go dark in 1975 after Terror of Mechagodzilla for 9 years.
Wow.
Thank God.
So this is when the Heisei era would begin. So following this, which was in 1984 with a film called The Return of Godzilla, which was both a direct sequel to the original film and a reboot. So at the end of the original film, they use a sci-fi weapon called the Oxygen Destroyer.
Okay.
To apparently kill Godzilla.
Okay.
Turns out 30 years later, they make a movie. They're just like, uh-oh. That didn't work.
Ooh.
Godzilla been sleeping in a volcano this whole time.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Lack of oxygen, put him out.
Yeah.
Man, I'm real tired.
So this film here would bring back the franchise, temporarily at least, from the realm of self-parody.
Okay, yeah.
So most of the Heisei films are at night, are much more violent. There's no Jet Jaguar.
There's no skating on
There's
his
no,
tail.
No skating, no flying in the fetal position.
Okay.
No dropping King Kong from a helicopter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of good to be said about skating on your tail and flying in the fetal position. You know what I mean?
I think it's comforting.
Yeah, don't take yourself so seriously, Godzilla. Yeah. Godzilla, let your hair down, you know?
Yeah. Well, just let it go.
Yeah,
I won't knock it till I try it.
Yeah,
exactly. You need a tail. And you need a big one.
Yeah, a big tail.
Yeah.
We'll get to work on that right away.
Working on it, yeah.
So the wackiness wasn't entirely gone Okay. Because it's still
camp.
Like, yeah. It's still postmodern Japan at this point, so like everything that we see from there is gonna come off as kind of weird.
Okay.
Despite the fact it's like taken seriously, because like obviously like
I have seen anime.
Yeah, yeah, anime is objectively fucking weird, right? Like that's just kind of the thing. I just
to my simple Western brain,
this
maybe.
Is gonna be relevant later on. But I because it's on Netflix, and when I was at work, it was fairly quiet. I finished all of Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Okay.
And the follow-up movie, which was a replacement for the last two episodes.
Yeah.
That shit's fucking insane.
Yeah.
It doesn't clarify anything.
I mean, Evangelion is a very specific example where, yeah, that is a crazy anime.
Yeah, exactly.
You picked a crazy one.
So, despite the fact that they wanted the Heisei era to be a little bit more serious, they did introduce the character of Godzilla Jr., who was just a new version of Baby Godzilla from the Showa era.
Okay. Baby Bowser from Mario.
Yeah, Baby Godzilla is a bad costume, though. They had a dwarf actor in there.
Okay.
And he looked like a weird, horrible, inflated plush animal made of rubber.
Okay.
Yeah, he's awful.
Okay.
And he could also speak psychically to some Japanese kid.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. He had a connection, and like there's like wacky parent antics. Because whatever.
Why do people watch this stuff? How has it been going on for this long, guys?
Hey.
I mean.
Dog.
Sometimes you just want to watch
just
monsters.
Follow your fucking dreams.
Yeah, sometimes you just want to watch monsters fuck shit up, dude.
Yeah, I guess
Ishiro Honda was just living his best life.
That's fair.
They let this franchise go on now for 60 years.
Yeah, let it go on is a good way of putting
it. They
keep
threatening to make more Godzilla films.
Yeah.
But they've mostly been financially successful as a thing.
Yeah, no,
like Toho
sure.
is still a film studio, right?
It's just like a fun like thing that you can watch. It's like, I know you don't like the Avengers movies, but it's like, it's just a thing that you can turn your brain off and just watch shit blow up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
the racket's kind of nice sometimes.
It's fair. It just sounds wacky, though. Like a mini Godzilla that
can
telepathically speak to a child. Yeah. I guess you got to have a story somewhere in there, right?
Well, yeah,
like for scale.
That's like Peter was saying at the top. Yeah, and I do think like story is secondary in these movies. Like they're like kaiju films are ostensibly action movies.
Yes.
Like, they're meant to be action.
Weirdly enough, one of the main complaints from some critics for the newest Godzilla film was, like, the fact that the human characters are kind of stupid and flat. It's like, yeah, but they added a lot of personality to the monsters. Like, they're really well animated.
Okay.
Speaking of, like, recent controversy of the Lion King remake, horrible wax figures that cannot emote, like Godzilla and King Ghidorah. King Ghidorah has three heads. He's a three-headed dragon.
Okay.
All three of them have a distinct personality.
Okay.
They have the jock head, the nerd head, and the dumb head.
Okay, yeah. And like this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll let you decide.
Yeah. But yeah, that like, and they all express themselves differently. They're very well animated. Godzilla as well has like a kind of like a double take, like uh-oh reaction at one point. It's fucking hilarious. The only character in that new movie who can't emote is Mothra, because she's a bug who doesn't have lips or eyes.
Yeah, bugs are strange.
But that's part of their allure, right? Like,
yeah, that's why you want to fuck them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because no lips.
I leave the light on every night.
Yeah. Know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's just like, you've got like a moth like eating your shirt off your back, massaging your shoulders. Like, oh, not tonight.
Yeah. Don't make me get the mothballs.
Like anal beads.
Yeah.
They still smell the same, though.
Yeah.
Because Mothra is often referred to as Queen of the Monsters,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of like fan art of like,
Godzilla fucking Mothra?
Well, probably. I haven't seen any of that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
okay,
it's there.
I don't even need to.
You know it's there, Peter.
I'm going to, like,
Let's give the listeners a minute to sit and think about it.
Withdraw my previous statement.
Let's not talk about fan art.
Probably was the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
Definitely.
Guaranteed.
Definitely. But this is another thing that I'm not sure of, but I'm sure of.
Guaranteed, yeah. No, I was going to say is just, like, when I start sketching some stuff out, maybe, like, you know that scene in fucking
Titanic?
Streetcar Named Desire when he's got like his shirt hanging off and she's
Stella.
Trying to take his shirt off.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Mothra and Godzilla.
I know that one. I actually saw that scene.
Tennessee Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also have a cat on a hot tin roof board right over here. Which you may have seen on our Instagram at Lore Boys Podcast.
Yep.
Anyway, carrying on. Always plugging.
No, always keep plugging.
Always plugging.
Jamie's got the mothballs in. Keep plugging.
So anyway.
Wait. I got to take one out. Just keep going.
Yeah.
So some of the other wackiness that they introduced in the super serious Heisei era were time-traveling terrorists from 2204 called the Futurians.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm already calling myself that, so I'm glad to hear that my club...
Futurians.
Does pretty well.
Yeah. It sounds like a fake cult from Futurama.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Where are the Futurians?
Oh.
We demand to be taken seriously.
Sure.
Godzilla is the greatest threat to our race.
So Godzilla in the 1984 film, Return of Godzilla, was again the antagonist, because again, he's the same character from the original film. And the theme this time was the Cold War.
Okay.
Because the secondary antagonist was American and Soviet bickering, where Japan couldn't get anything done.
Fair.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, biggest antagonist in the world, probably.
Oh, yeah. The two of them just fucking with each other constantly. Or just, whatever, swinging their dicks around.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla shows up and just like, can you guys... Never mind, you know what?
You know what?
We'll take care of this. Yeah. Yeah.
I used to be a metaphor for what this is, what's happening here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Godzilla is if he just like gets if he's actually like an activist, and like all the films are his like street art where he's just like, I represent... nuclear war, man, it's so dangerous.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the USSR and the USSA over here, just fucking amassing.
The USSR and the USSA.
Yeah.
United Super States of America.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. United Soviet States of America.
Yeah, there you go.
I like the super states.
So the focus shifted from film to film, but often, if not always, it always like kind of spoke about one of the concerns of the Japanese at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Godzilla versus Hedorah, a large tadpole falls from space and grows larger as it feasts on pollution, because at the time, Japan was suffering from widespread pollution in cities, which caused an outbreak of several pulmonary diseases. Hedorah specifically represented what was known as Yokkaichi asthma, named after the city it originated in.
Oh, is that where the asthma comes from, too?
Well, the Yokkaichi asthma comes from.
Oh, okay. Yokkaichi is the... Okay.
It's a specific type of asthma.
In the town of Yokkaichi, multiple children in a very short... many children in a very short amount of time were diagnosed with the exact same kind of asthma caused by pollution. Okay. Hedorah was...
Breathing in too many rotten apples.
Oh, well, it's a good thing there's no more pollution. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Solve that one.
Thanks for taking care of that one, Japan.
Yeah.
Thanks, Godzilla.
We owe it to you.
Thank you, Godzilla.
Yeah. Or Hedorah. Yeah, Hedorah.
Hedorah was the metaphorical enemy, where Godzilla in this one was fighting pollution.
Yeah, this one, because
But I thought you said Hedorah was eating all the...
But feeding on it, becoming bigger.
It was feeding on it, becoming a giant destructive monster.
And a bigger danger.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Godzilla...
Still cleaning up all the garbage.
Tall hippie, still dangerous. Because he's stomping through the town.
Yeah.
Well, stomping, but he'd be slithering if he's a tadpole.
If I got a big old tiger to get rid of my pest problem, and then the tiger grew real big, then the tiger's the problem.
You can get snakes to take care of the tiger.
He's the big tiger in this. Yeah. So the metaphor for the metaphor about this metaphor about pollution is the tiger, if you follow me.
Yeah, I follow.
Good.
The listeners follow, surely. Surely we're not babbling nonsense.
No.
They would let us know.
I feel like we're moving double speed from our last episode, so if you're listening directly after,
Well, we got a lot more energy now.
We do.
We've all had some much-needed rest.
We went from a slow-moving card game to an action-packed movie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, depending on time of recording...
And date.
The episode before this one is yet to be recorded by us.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. I didn't realize we were doing another one. But, okay.
Movie magic.
So maybe not.
A little peek behind the curtain.
I'll make sure to just fucking babble incoherently on the next, on this part two of the Magic the Gathering.
So the Heisei era would end with Godzilla versus Destoroyah, a film in which Godzilla appears to be sick in some capacity because he's covered in hot lava-like rashes.
Well, he ate the pollution monster.
Yeah, well, now... Why'd you eat the pollution
He's got Yokkaichi asthma.
Yeah, he's just coughing everywhere. He can't run.
Does he eat his enemies after he's done with them?
I assume so.
No.
Well, that's very wasteful.
Yeah. Well, what do you do with the pollution guy then now?
Throw it in the ocean?
Dump him in
that.
The ocean, yeah.
It's made of garbage.
Yeah. He's just like, I must restore balance back where you came from, pollution monster. Dump him into the drinking supply.
It's like at the top of a mountain, like into a little creek. Yeah. Like
all is now well with the world. Yeah. Godzilla returned to sleep. Stomp through the village.
Somebody turn the somebody turn the oxygen off. I want to take a nap.
Yeah. So he's covered in these hot lava-like rashes, and scientists in the film figure he's probably going to melt down because he's always still been atomic, even though he's not been the metaphor. And they figure that there's so much nuclear energy inside of him that if he melted down, it would kill everyone on Earth, and they want to stop that.
Okay, fair, 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 fair.
Destroya's origin is fucking insane, as you can imagine. Destroya is a combination creature of multiple ancient crabs. So all these crab fossils get bombarded with radiation,
okay,
come to life and go through multiple stages very quickly where mm-hmm. they're
that's what radiation does.
They're yeah. man-sized.
Okay.
And then they get larger and fuse, and then they eventually combine to one giant bat-like crab dragon.
Okay.
That's what they settled on.
That
fine
makes sense, yeah. Darwin, what? that's up, I think.
Yeah, because he had
Darwin's model,
yeah,
right?
He had the cactus finch, the vampire finch, crab dragon finch.
Yeah. you expose any of those finches to radiation, they'll get Godzilla sized in or fucking two generations.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Or like the finches all fuse.
Yeah,
the man-sized finch.
Yeah, that's what finches are. Yeah.
Destroya actually in this film kills Godzilla Jr., which enrages Godzilla, who is still melting down. But he managed to channel.
How does the little Japanese boy who could telepathically communicate with Baby Godzilla feel about this?
He's not in this era. Sorry, I forgot to mention. Baby Godzilla is from the Showa era with the.
But he
the killed, 2 feet, the 2 feet chest kicks.
But he kills Baby Godzilla in this one.
Godzilla Jr. is, in quotes, different and
okay.
much more super serious.
Excuse me, we're serious now. Okay.
Well,
okay.
Anyway,
ancient crabs fight yeah. my dragon friend.
Yeah,
is the plot of this movie.
Killed my Godzilla boy.
Yeah.
All right. Makes sense.
Godzilla Jr. actually is from the 80s. Is absolutely the personification of that "Don't talk to me or my son ever again" meme. Because okay. he is a shorter person in an identical costume.
Yeah, yeah.
enraged and melting down, Godzilla uses his new power and sacrifices himself to kill Destroya, also okay. being helped by people with freeze rays that were going to shoot Godzilla with it to cool him off to keep him from melting down.
Okay.
Godzilla, however...
But then they're like, if we freeze the other one, we can get rid of both of them.
Exactly. Godzilla, however, does melt down and die, but in this process resurrects Godzilla Jr. as the new Godzilla, ending the Heisei era in 1995.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're worried about it melting down and destroying everyone because it's radiation, but yeah. no, since he died and another one came back to life, radiation cool.
You can neither cool. Create or destroy no energy. You can only...
That's true.
Yeah.
That's why people have kids.
It's a smaller Godzillas.
Yeah, exactly.
Is, I believe, how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smaller Godzillas that move really fast.
Yeah, exactly. 1998 now. So that was in 1995 where the Heisei era ended.
Sure.
1998 is where we see the first fully American Godzilla film. Older ones had been dubbed and even recut with additional footage featuring American actors so that they could sell them in the States.
Okay.
The original Godzilla film from 1954 was released... twice in the States, once as the original, and once as like the more palatable version for
with white people.
With one white person.
Now with white people.
White person.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
good enough for the American.
On
audience,
the food
I
pyramid
yeah.
is just one serving of white person.
Yeah.
And that keeps society from collapsing.
They, yeah, found, they found the milk for their cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I can't remember this actor's name. He appeared in several films.
So stupid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't take that one back.
It made me think of a very inappropriate joke. Okay. We won't say it on it.
But this one in 1998 was the first fully American Godzilla. American cast, Toho was behind it. They gave TriStar their blessing.
Okay.
However, they did have a few things that they needed to approve of. They wanted to approve of the design and a few other things. The film... but the Americans, of course, were just like, yeah, okay, we'll do that. They ignored everything that Toho had set down.
Yeah.
Went full steam ahead and created this movie.
USA. USA.
It turned
USA.
Out to be a critical and commercial failure.
Yeah, no, it was not well received. And from what I recall, not a good movie.
Yeah. The monster
Same.
In the film...
Still, it's Godzilla knocking down buildings and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I
mean? Toho, after this failure and the fact that Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin didn't listen to just a fucking word they said...
Just almost, like, flouted him, like, to his face.
Forbid American studios from making a Godzilla film ever again.
Take that, America.
Although this would only last 16 years.
Well, we'll see about that.
And that's when Dogzilla came out in America.
Yeah. Yeah. Dogzilla.
Yeah.
The monster in the 1998 film, which well, you and I have seen at least, mm-hmm. Looked nothing like the original Godzilla, despite the fact Toho's instructions said that they, despite Toho's instructions.
It also didn't look like a Komodo dragon, which it was supposed to have evolved from.
Or something. Yeah. It's a neat looking monster, but it doesn't look like Godzilla.
No. I don't look like a fish. It probably was one way back in my ancestral past.
That
right?
is true. That is true.
So yeah, the three rules.
Well, I kind of do look like a fish.
You look a little like a
go
fish.
Go back though. Far.
You're oily. Yeah. Covered in scales.
The three golden production rules that they set down, they're just like, don't change the design too much. Has to breathe fire. Well, atomic fire. Can't kill him at the end. Godzilla in 1998 looked nothing like Godzilla. Had no radioactive powers and was killed at the end of the film.
Definitely died at the end, yeah.
Frick.
Yeah.
Spoilers for a 30-year-old movie. 20-year-old movie.
So he was actually ended up being resurrected in the sequel cartoon as a cyborg, but is defeated by one of Godzilla's children who is now fully grown. Because Godzilla laid a bunch of eggs at the end of that movie and one lived.
Yep.
There's a sequel cartoon, which is actually fucking great.
Oh, yeah.
I remember loving it, and I watched some videos about it like while writing this. Most people today even are just like, no, it's a shockingly good cartoon.
Yeah.
It's just Monster of the Week, but
that's
instead
what you
of
want out of
fucking
a Godzilla.
Superman, it's Godzilla.
Yeah, that's what you want out of Godzilla.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
So despite the fact that his design and character and this film was a massive betrayal, Toho renamed the monster Zilla and kept him in the roster of monsters for later use.
Okay.
it's a big old bucket.
Yeah, right?
It's got a bunch of assorted monsters with, like, mishmash parts
bat
on there.
Bat crabs and,
Yeah,
bat crab, jet jaguar.
Giant bugs.
King Kong for some reason, but he's badly burned.
Yeah.
Justin Axolotl.
Little monsters, Peter.
She is a little monster. So for the 1998 film, I had a lot of the toys. I would get them for Christmas and birthdays from like grandparents because they just like I did see the film once and have it on VHS.
Especially the mothballs.
But I just hell yeah, Godzilla branded mothballs, baby.
Thanks, Uncle Ted.
but I remember distinctly like owning the VHS. But every time somebody wanted to watch it, I was just like, I don't really know. So I think even my 7-year-old brain was just like, I don't think I enjoyed this film.
I liked it as a kid. I definitely watched it a couple times. I had it on VHS.
Oh, yeah, well, I had it.
I've watched it not that long ago. Like, I feel like it was on TV within the last 5 years. And
really?
I watched, like, I don't know, maybe half of it. And I was like, well, this is a bad movie.
Yeah, it is. It's not the worst movie ever made, but
no,
it's not good.
Far from.
VHS was a format used before CDs.
Videos. And a CD... Hey, see?
Yeah.
That's what VHS stands for.
Videos, hey, see?
Yeah, they take the comma out. So the failure and shame of Godzilla 1998 was actually powerful enough for Toho to launch into their third era known as the Millennium Era.
Okay.
And this
So presumably no emperor in Japan anymore.
Well, it's Emperor Millennium.
Oh.
he's very tall and cool looking.
Yeah. Dang.
He wears silver sunglasses.
Yeah. Very buff. Yeah. The strongest man in Japan, they say. Emperor Millennium. this era launched with a film called Godzilla 2000, which came out in Japan in 1999.
Okay.
But 2000 here, in which he fights a giant shape-shifting UFO called Orga actually absorbs some of his DNA.
Orga.
Hell yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was the wife I gave to the name earlier of some random thing.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. That was just
also a good spice.
Yeah. Orga?
No, I'm kidding.
I don't know what the actual spice is.
Just sounds spicy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get a little bit of salmon here, you put that, just rub on a little bit of oil mixed with orga.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it sounds like a thing, right? And I like to use fresh parsley. Just rub it in your hands a bit and then just like slap the meat a bit. And put it in at 375. In the year 2000, and boom, you got your Millennium Era.
Yeah. This is how you make
Godzilla 2000.
Oven-roasted bat crabs.
Yeah. Crab bat dragon.
Yeah.
That thing goes through a litany of forms.
Yeah. It's like a turducken.
So, yeah, exactly. A crab inside of a bat inside of a dragon.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
This is coming out on American Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah. Japan loves Thanksgiving.
July? This is American Thanksgiving?
Yeah. I think so.
So this era was yet again a reboot, but it was more of an anthology series of unrelated sequels to the original film.
Okay.
This era ended in 2004 with Godzilla Final Wars, in which Godzilla actually fights 13 monsters who are summoned by aliens who are trying to take over the world.
Okay.
So they just had hologram copies.
That sounds like a fucking nonstop thrill ride.
I've seen it. It's fucking ridiculous.
Okay.
I remember distinctly that the main alien looks just like Japanese Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with Pete Wentz from
Feathered
Fall.
Feathered hair. Yeah. Just think of
Scene
some
Kid.
Emo guy.
2018.
Scene yeah, yeah, very yeah. Scene.
Like a 2004 Scene Kid.
I got an image. Yeah. I got an image.
Yeah. I hope that the video game that we don't know if exists or not is based off this one because
yeah.
That's awesome. Like 12, 13 bosses before they're like, yeah. You fight the 12 and then the 13th
rush,
is the
yeah.
Big
yeah.
One. Yeah.
So here's where it comes back in. The American monster Zilla returns to actually fight Godzilla. However, he is easily defeated in 31 seconds.
Okay. Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a nice little take that, American monster.
So in this 31 seconds, Zilla is beamed in by the aliens, mm-hmm. Shrieks at Godzilla, runs at him, jumps at him. Godzilla swats him out of the air with his tail, into the Sydney Opera House, whips around, blasts him with atomic fire, just destroying the entire thing. And
should have had atomic fire, idiot.
Yeah, exactly. Blowing up the Opera House and killing Zilla inside
okay.
In 31 seconds.
Beautiful.
Shit.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
So 2004 also marked the 50th anniversary of the franchise, and the studio decided to put it on ice for a decade.
Okay.
This decade would end, obviously, in 2014, and the next Godzilla film, simply titled Godzilla, would be an American production. Because they actually produced a script that Toho liked.
Okay.
They kept the recognizable design.
Yeah.
Godzilla has atomic fire breath.
Turns out when you get like a few more boomers out of the equation, it's like all of a sudden they respect the original authors.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Vision and everything.
Just we like, hired somebody who liked Godzilla to write a Godzilla film for us, and you know, despite the fact he's, well, he was British, despite the fact it's an American production,
yeah.
It turned out to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Japanese finally allowed Hollywood to try again with Godzilla 2014, which is the first one that came out.
From the recent
yeah,
ones,
from Legendary yeah. Pictures. So this is once again a reboot. Which gives a new origin story to Godzilla as kind of like a protector of the planet from the other titans that would throw nature out of balance.
Okay.
So now sure. They're not mutants.
So
Godzilla is powered by atomic energy. Like, he's millions and millions and millions of years old in the current films.
Okay.
But he sleeps on the sea floor and actually absorbs energy directly out of the radioactive core of the Earth.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Anyway, yeah. When the things are unbalanced, he wakes up to restore balance?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's more of an anti-hero in this one because he is incredibly destructive and will, you know, they do a lot of damage to San Francisco in that film.
Good.
Godzilla fights two new monsters called MUTOs, which is an acronym for Massive Unidentified Terrestrial Organism.
Okay. Also known as Hooves.
Hooves.
What?
MUTOs.
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 Oh. It's cow- yeah. He fights a bunch of cow feet.
Yeah. Cloven.
Are those cloven? Yeah, I can most.
Not much else happens in this film. I remember seeing it in theaters and not liking it very much because the human story is fine, but the actors are terrible.
Okay, yeah.
Terrible. So the film kind of doesn't work. Because there's not much action, which is fine. There's a lot of older Godzilla films without much action, but the humans have to carry it.
Okay.
In this one, they can't. Just the actors they have, spoilers, Bryan Cranston's in it, but dies in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah,
so
I knew that.
He's the one, him and obviously, well, like Ken Watanabe, the Japanese actor,
that
is great. But he's on screen for like 30 seconds, mm-hmm. And he's basically just like the Godzilla Whisperer. Like,
okay, cool.
Like
yeah.
He's just like plot
That's a cool
convenient.
Title.
He's just like, oh yeah, I know all about Godzilla.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me
tell you about Godzilla.
Yeah.
I'm a Japanese man.
Yeah, we go way back,
yeah.
He says, sitting down on the floor and pouring tea into a small bowl.
Did you know Godzilla is the longest-running movie franchise?
Yeah, he's just like
narrowly beating out the Paul Blart franchise?
Yeah.
By 8 months.
Yeah.
King Kong's
not
a franchise.
Even a full year.
Yeah. I was thinking about King Kong. It's probably because there was probably a huge gap where King Kong movies weren't being made.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
But also, it's not really a franchise because I don't think King Kong's ever had a sequel. There's the one in the 30s.
There's Skull Island.
There's one in the... Kong Skull Island is a sequel to Godzilla 2014.
I learned about King Kong from the one from the 30s because it was notable for music score.
Okay, yeah.
It was one of those ones that had themes for the first time that when King Kong would show up, there would be this little minute changes in the music in the back that they would bring back his theme kind of thing.
Rather
and
than just some old-timey guy playing ragtime on a
exactly,
piano.
Exactly,
yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
And they also had really good stop
motion from
the 30s.
Yeah, music that was in the background but really lent to the experience without being the focus kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, so Kong Skull Island, the most recent Kong film, is actually a sequel to Godzilla 2014.
Okay.
So they're all in because everybody needs a fucking cinematic universe now. They're in the monsterverse.
Okay.
Basically. So it's their Avengers is putting the boy, getting the boys together.
Yeah.
So, despite the fact when I originally saw Godzilla 2014, I didn't like it very much because the actors are terrible. I watched it a couple times, and I gotta say, some of the camera work, and it's still a, it's a decent film. It's okay. Not as bad as I recall. I was just kind of fanboy angry at the time, but okay. Going back with a level head, it's worth a watch. It's on Netflix.
You cranked one out, and then you watched it after that.
Same
yeah,
time,
exactly. Yeah.
You watched it before you had your Monster Energy in the morning.
Yeah,
didn't punch any holes in the wall.
I hadn't flipped my cap backwards yet either, yeah. So I was just a wreck.
Okay,
when I saw it. Yeah, it was no good. And then 2016 would see Godzilla rebooted again by Toho in the film Shin Gojira, which is now known in their era of the Reiwa era.
There's been three in the last 5 years? Jesus.
Yeah, so this one here...
Didn't know that.
What didn't really come out in the
States... It's been like 12 Marvel movies in the past 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
That I'm not surprised about. Yeah.
At least you've got two studios working on Godzilla in parallel in different countries.
In different countries. Yeah. Four different audiences in those countries. Yeah.
So Shin Gojira never really got a real release here.
My buddy Kyle
got special tickets for us to go to.
Okay.
To actually see it. It's not in English at all. There's only a subtitle version. And Godzilla is once again the villain. However, now, like we were saying, they don't have a standing army and they need approval from a bunch of different countries to take any kind of military action. The inability to act of the Japanese government is what this film is about.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like that's a theme, inability to act.
Yeah.
What's cool about this, I mentioned Evangelion. The guy who wrote and directed Evangelion wrote and directed Shin Gojira.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Neat.
Bring it around. So I planted that seed, not for no reason.
Yeah, no, clearly.
Yeah. So he, in this one, though, he doesn't really have a personality. He is just a mindless force of nature who mostly either defends himself or walks in a straight line, destroying everything in his path.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely has my favorite atomic breath out of all of the Godzillas, though, in Shin Gojira, because it starts to pour out kind of just like fire mixed with black smoke like a volcano. And eventually, like, narrows into just a thin purple laser beam that just goes on forever and just, like, cuts buildings in half.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's neat. Fucking awesome.
It sounds rad as fuck.
Yeah. This also is directly referenced in Dark Souls 3.
okay.
Because in the Ringed City, the optional boss is called Dark Eater Midir, who we talked about in our Dark Souls episode. He's a giant purple dragon with, like, similar rocky crystallized scales.
Yeah.
One of his attacks to protect his legs, because if you're underneath him, he will blow fire straight down. Which will then narrow into a focused purple beam. So that's directly referenced from Shin Gojira into Dark Souls 3 The Ringed City.
You got me thinking about what would be some fun ways to do atomic fire. I like the idea that it's coming out like a hose that has air bubbles in it at first and not a lot of pressure. So it's just like... sputtering,
spilling atomic fire on his like on the front of his shirt, like.
And then it starts like a slow stream, but then works its way up to a really like.
Well, like you're turning on a garden hose.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it has
like when you get up in the morning and you gotta pee.
Oh yeah. Right.
Well, no, fellas? That's different. That then you get the split.
Am I right?
Okay.
No, I was picturing more like it's got a really like tight arc to it, and then as the pressure builds, it's almost a straight line.
Almost, yeah, exactly.
But after all the sputtering and getting going,
well, it's like they shut off your water and then they turn it back on.
That's exactly.
A little bit of rust comes out.
Yeah, you turn the tap. It's like
screonk.
Screonk. Yeah. Exactly
like a resin coated leather glove. Yeah. Dragged across the loose strings of a double bass.
Oh yeah.
That should just be the title. Like, no joke, just that.
They use a fiddle for the junior guy.
Yeah.
And just two fingers of a glove.
Yeah.
So his new design in this one is even more grotesque than normal. His lower jaw splits in half when he breathes fire.
Okay. He's got the Predator?
Yeah. But not his top jaw, so not the whole thing. His arms are really stumpy and kind of gnarled and weird, like he has a bone disorder kind of pointing up towards his chest.
Okay.
His skin looks like burning charcoal, kind of with lava behind it. Like, he's much more terrifying.
And it's full CGI now, right? Even the Japanese ones?
So he's mo-capped.
Oh, okay.
So Shin Gojira is mo-capped, but the mo-cap actor to honor the legacy of Godzilla, actually, despite the fact he did not need it, wore a Godzilla mask and tail whilst mo-capped.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very Japanese.
What's mo-cap?
Motion capture. So, like, not just CGI, but, like, a person moving.
Yeah, he was in the green suit with the dots with a Godzilla mask and tail on, and that's how they did it. Okay. And then the rest of them was CGI.
Sounds like a Starbucks drink.
Mocap, man.
Yeah.
Mocha. Like a venti mocap, please.
Yeah, it's
mocha
like a
cappuccino.
Exactly, yeah.
You can't see it. It just disappears in your hand when you host the weather. Yeah. So his new terrifying design is probably because the film was directed by Hideki Anno of Evangelion fame.
Okay.
Yeah. Which have a bunch of crazy fucking
written
monsters
and directed.
Written and directed. Okay. Yeah. He wrote it with some other guy, but I didn't write his name down. I'm sorry.
Two Japanese.
Yeah.
Kevin James.
I would have just fucked up. Yeah. Hideki Anno and Kevin James.
Yeah.
The oldest working actor in Hollywood since 1955. So in Shin Gojira, he actually appears in four forms. One is unseen, except it's tall tail, like whipping out of the water out in a harbor. The second is like kind of like a salamander-like thing without arms and exposed gills that like dump out this red fluid. It actually transforms on land into like a small-looking Godzilla that has arms. He stands upright and kind of crashes into a building like a weird little dinosaur thing.
Okay.
And then we have his final form, which to my knowledge, other than Planet Godzilla, which is also from this era but is in a Netflix film, he is the largest movie Godzilla ever. He's something like 500-600 feet tall. Planet Godzilla in the CGI anime on Netflix is basically the size of a mountain, but I have not watched that.
Okay.
I heard it was terrible. I heard all three of them were bad.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna watch them.
I won't watch them either, yeah. Then, Peter.
This version of Godzilla has been given a few new abilities. So he can shoot the purple lasers out of his dorsal fins on his back.
Okay.
As his well nipples. As a second kind of vestigial mouth on the end of his tail.
Okay.
So he can shoot a laser out of his tail.
He's got a tail mouth.
Out of his back, and also out of his mouth.
Okay.
Cool. Well, at the end of the film, because it's kind of like he's kind of this weird evolution monster as well.
Yeah.
At the end of the film, they, to stop him, they manage to knock him down with a bunch of metro trains loaded with dynamite, basically.
Okay.
He falls down, and while he's still dazed, they used fire trucks with like the extendable arms.
Okay.
To just fill him with liquid nitrogen.
Okay.
And then at some point, he just freezes solid. But at the end of the film, you can see there's a bunch of, like, human skeleton Godzilla hybrids. Like, there's, like, 10 or 11 of them, like, peeling themselves out of his tail. As well as, like, a deformed second skull. And right before it cuts to black for the credits, the jaw, like, cracks open a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like somebody had a mold for Godzilla and left too many Godzilla embryos in there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, he's much more terrifying and grotesque.
And like left it in the sun and it just jellied together.
He's also the first time ever a Japanese Godzilla was not played by a man in a suit.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Ever, yeah. He's the first and only at this time. So this era that we talked about here, which was the Reiwa era, is actually ongoing. It's got the three animated films on Netflix that I mentioned. And then Godzilla, King of Monsters. Which
we're gonna get there.
King of Monsters released in May 2019.
Yeah,
so the Reiwa Japanese era is ongoing, and the American films, the MonsterVerse, are ongoing as well.
Cool.
And that's Godzilla production.
That's the lore of real world, as Peter calls it. His story, was that it?
I call it her story mostly.
Her story. You want to take us away there, Pete?
Yeah, so anyway, you can find me on the internet at Pete O'Donohue or at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. At Pete O'Donohue is my Twitter. Mm-hmm. We're at the Loreboys on Twitter as well. And as well, we're also the Loreboys on YouTube. I've been uploading as often as I can. Whenever I'm home for long enough, I'll upload a video. Thank you to all our new subscribers. We've gotten about like 10 to 15 in the past couple of days. Thank you all for commenting and liking as well on all those videos as well. YouTube is turning out to be more active than I thought it would ever be.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye out for that. More to come. We're like, the YouTube is still about 25 to 26 episodes behind. So plenty of content going forward before it's down to a weekly basis.
Turns out people on YouTube like anywhere from like 100 to 120 hours worth of content.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And we've definitely got that.
Yeah.
Jamie, if I wanted to find 120 hours of your content, where could I go there, sailor?
Well,
I got me some mothballs. What do you say?
for our Lore Boys stuff, you can find me at on PSN, JAYMILLK64. Also at twitch.tv/THELOREBOYS. That stands for The Lore Boys.
The Lore Boys.
And yeah, that's pretty much it. How about you, Ethan?
I'm at Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, also, for the record, by the time this episode is out, we will have a Patreon. So if...
We shouldn't say that.
That's a bold promise, Peter.
Yeah.
I got a lot of time now.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm on vacation, buddy.
Fair enough.
Got a lot of time.
So we'll have a Patreon if you want to support us with real money. Until then, until we do get the Patreon set up 6 years from now.
Yeah. At the end of the Reiwa era.
There is the good old reliable way of supporting us, which is, of course, Loreboys Premium. This week on Loreboys Premium, as you're cooking, been a bit bland recently. You need some Ogra to spice things up. You need some Tamalan. You need some... Jimmy, what other spices do we have?
Well, I don't have any spices, but what I did, just to be more like a lizard, is I covered myself in candle wax.
Okay.
And I've kind of worked my way out without using my hands.
He's flaking.
And I flaked out, and I've almost kept a whole mold of my body in candle wax, which is like my second, third, fourth skin, whatever you want to call it.
And if you eat the candle wax, it's super tasty. It tastes like Jamie a little bit. Yeah. Also candle wax.
It's better than the bath water that we sold last week.
Yeah. Yeah. The Lore Boys cooking and baking book comes with the Lore Boys spice rack.
Exactly.
For the low, low price of $39.99. Get it while it's cold, and you can make it hot yourself.
Yeah. Tastes a little bit like J Milk.
Yeah.
Also for the Ogra, just for the record.
One of the spices.
We have some fresh Ogra and some dried Ogra. Mm-hmm. Please specify which one you would like, because we don't want to send you a plant to take care of, because that would just be silly.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. So we do have 89 different spices. You'll get two random ones. Good luck cooking with them. That's all I can say.
Yeah. those are some wild ones, eh?
Yeah, there's definitely some that you explicitly do not want to ingest.
Yeah.
But they'll hopefully be labeled.
One of them comes with goggles. Put them on first.
Yeah. Goggles and gloves, definitely before handling.
Oh, yeah.
Before even really touching the box that it comes in, like, definitely put the goggles on.
I like the garlic cyanide. Well, at least half of it, but...
Yeah. half of it tastes like garlic. Half of it tastes like almonds. Fun fact about cyanide, tastes like almonds.
There's a cyanide fact in there, too. Eh?
Yeah.
And tastes like a good night's sleep.
And that constitutes
a Lore
Boys
out. Goodbye. Forever.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.